You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leeds talking Boston Red Sox with MLB.com's Red Sox beat reporter, Ian Brown. Ian, to use an expression from a member of a hated rival, as Yogi Berra once said, it's getting late early. The odds are not looking real good for the Red Sox. Now, again, things can change, but they're 11 out and 8.5 in the wild card. How does this affect philosophy? And again, I think we're in a point in baseball where the whole buyer-seller thing is overstated. There's most teams are a little of both. But as they as we get closer to July 31st and as the Red Sox have lost that momentum they seem to be building a couple of weeks ago, how do they view what's in front of them as far as trades and the deadline?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think it changes a heck of a lot because whether it was trying to win a pennant this year or trying to get better next year, I think the Red Sox need to go out and get some pitching. And if they can do that, you know, before July 31st rather than wait till the offseason, it might behoove them to do that. There's just, you know, they thought they could get through the season without the, you know, classic frontline starter. We all talked about it a lot, wondering if it might work, but it just seems that that is what has been missing on this team. You don't have that guy who every fifth day when he pitches, you think you're going to win. And I think that it changes the attitude of not only the whole team, but the whole rotation. So I think that they'll be all hands on deck the next 10 days or so, seeing if they can get that guy who can help them not only this year, but next year too.
So there are presumably a couple guys who fit that description on the market and maybe others. I mean, you know, it's sort of interesting. We've talked a lot about Hamels and Cueto, but if the Tigers open for business, that's a whole different animal, and maybe some other guys. You know, there are interesting potential names on the market. So as you look at the Red Sox addressing that and looking at a guy to put at the front of the rotation, whether it's a real one or whether it's one of those sort of 1-2 kind of guys, like I think it's fair to describe Hamels, yeah, who do you think are the viable options? Who do you think makes sense both in terms of the pitcher and the cost?
Well, Hamels would be a guy. You know, and the one intriguing thing about him is he has, you know, they would have control over him for the next 3 years after this year. You know, David Price is a guy they've liked for a long time, so you know they could go there. You have Smarjo with Chicago. So there's a few guys. I don't think they're necessarily honing in on one guy. They're gonna look at all the guys and see, you know, what the cost is, what the cost benefit is, and you know, I think they really need to go get a pitcher. There's just a bad atmosphere around this team right now, and I think they need to do something, frankly, from a PR perception, because people in Boston are revolting against this team right now.
And I think one of the big questions here is what do they part with? When we talked earlier in the year, a lot of the talk was about a catcher, was about Blake Swihart. That's a much tougher move to make now. And they're down one catcher for the year. And look, you don't really know what Vasquez is. For a guy whose game is his defense, if you don't really know what the elbow is like when he comes back, it's really tough to deal one of those guys if you're not sure of the other. So what do they have that they could part with that could really convince another club to do a deal for a front-of-the-rotation starter?
Yeah, I mean, you look at one guy who still has a pretty good trading chip, and I think that's Henry Owens. And you also have Brian Johnson. So I think one or two of those, you know, I think maybe you pick one of those guys and you tell a team, you know, one of these guys is available. And, you know, obviously that's not alone going to be enough to get a deal done. Then you throw in a, you know, Jackie Bradley Jr., who I think has had a really good year at AAA and could still be attractive. He seems to me like a classic, you know, change of scenery type of guy who he could do well for another team. And, you know, just kind of go through the farm system and look at some of their other, you know, they have some good prospects in that farm system. There's a couple guys who are untouchable. Look, you're not going to trade Mankata, obviously. I don't think you're going to trade Eduardo Rodriguez. I think they'd like to keep, you know, the two catchers we just talked about. But aside from that, you know, there is some depth in that system, and you do have to get creative, and you might just have to package a few guys.
When you talk about sort of retooling rather than rebuilding, because they're clearly not going to blow this up. They couldn't even if they wanted to, but I don't think there's any reason to think they'd want to. You know, one of the things that it seems like has to happen is getting some more look at some of these interesting young guys. You know, maybe it's time to find out what Bradley is as a major leaguer right now. So what I wonder is, do they try to, and is it possible to part with some of these veteran pieces? You know, the names raised by Joe Sheehan this week were Victorino and Napoli. Is it time to look at parting with some of those pieces? And maybe, again, as we note, buyer-seller is sort of a misleading term. Maybe buy and sell between now and the deadline.
Yeah, absolutely. And those are the two guys, you know, I mentioned in my story yesterday that would be the guys that you would think about selling just because, look, they're both their contracts expire at the end of the year, you know, Victorino and Napoli. And you're probably not looking at bringing either guy back for next year. And the way the standings are right now, it makes sense. And I think both of those guys could be attractive for a contender, particularly Victorino, who is still a pretty good ball player. You know, if you play him in the right way and don't kind of overuse him. You know, Napoli is kind of an interesting one because he just looks, you know, completely lost at the plate. I still firmly believe that the guy doesn't lose it at Mike Napoli's age, and I think it's just one of those years that, you know, Mike Lowell had it in 2005 with the Marlins, and then he went on to have, you know, two or three pretty good years after that. I just think it happens to some guys where, you know, it just becomes a physical and mental battle for them, and I think that's what's happened with Napoli. But, yeah, I think that Napoli and Victorino, the Red Sox have fielded calls on both those guys already. I think they'll continue to do so, and like you said, it might make sense, you know, to play a Bradley, you know, unless you trade Bradley as well.
You mentioned the reaction in the home market that this is not going over well, and that's not surprising. Yeah. This club spends a lot of money, and the expectations, the self-established expectations, are to win every year. You look at a team that right now is in fifth place for a second straight year, and it starts to come up the question of the manager. You know, it's kind of similar to what you said. Guys don't forget how to hit. Guys don't forget how to manage. It's a guy who won a ring 2 years ago. But it seems like the question is at least now being asked. So the question to me is John Farrell completely safe? Is there something that this club has to show over the next 2.5 months to keep that the case? Or is he, no matter what, the manager of the Red Sox in opening day 2016?
Yeah, I think that, you know, anytime a team like the Boston Red Sox, if they don't turn this around and if they finish in last place 2 years in a row, Matthew, I don't really think anybody's safe. And that includes Ben Cherington, too. I think they have to look at the whole operation. And for Cherington, this would be three last place finishes in his 4 years as general manager. So you'd have to look at the whole operation, the whole way of doing things, and you might have to, you know, if this is this bleak for the rest of the year, you really have to look at the way they've been doing things. And that's why I think there's a lot of urgency from everyone involved here, from Cherington to Farrell to the guys in that clubhouse, to turn this thing around. And at least, you know, if you're not going to get back in the pennant race, at least play like a team, as Ryan Hannigan said the other night, at least play like a team the city can be proud of, you know, because you know, right now that hasn't been the case, and the fans are really turned off by this team. Not just that they're not winning, but just some of the mistakes they make during the course of the game. They're just not a very clean baseball team. So I think that, you know, everybody would like to see this team play better for a lot of reasons.
And that does set up another question, I think an interesting one, because the conversation always seems to be about Farrell, and for whatever reason, the general manager has stayed pretty much bulletproof so far. But
yeah,
if, as you know, in your tenure, it's one really, really good season, but one good season out of four, that's not a ratio that is sustainable for a long time. Do you get the impression that at least those questions are starting to be asked, that there is some notion of heat on the front office if this doesn't get turned around, if this team doesn't get at least back into contention before the end of the year?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think John Henry really likes Ben Cherington, really respects him. But at the same time, John Henry is a great businessman, and so is Larry Lucchino. And if you get to the end of the year and the Red Sox have finished last place with their payroll three times in four seasons, you know, you have to start looking for reasons. You have to start changing your way of doing things. And I just think that, you know, it would be too much evidence not to do something drastic. So I think, again, that's why these last couple months of the season are pretty fascinating for the Red Sox to see if, you know, is this really going to be the team they're going to be the rest of the year? Or are they going to, you know, maybe morph into the team that a lot of people thought they would be when the season started?
All right. Well, Ian Brown, thanks for taking some time to talk here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks, everybody, for listening.
MLB.TV Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.TV Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.TV for details.